We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
I guess you didn't get this text I sent you earlier. I sent it to the wrong one.
You sent a text to me at the wrong number?
Well, I sent it to your phone number, which you're not getting, right? You're only getting it at your email address, and I have both contacts, unfortunately.
Oh,
right. So if I text
confusing.
Your email, you're going to get a bunch of texts like when you get back.
You know what? I do have my phone connected. I just haven't taken it off airplane mode yet this morning. But I have travel pass for my phone, so it's no biggie.
Cool, because Liz texted me and is like, are they leaving Nicaragua? Are they evacuating? And I was like, not that I know of. And she's like, well, I saw something on Facebook that indicated they might be. So I went and looked at it, and I was like, no, I think it was a theoretical.
Well, it wasn't really a theoretical. It was, we aren't leaving the country, but we were at a training in the mountains yesterday. So yesterday is when I gave the training to, there were like 50 teachers and pastors and community leaders who came, and I gave a training about traumatic stress and how to support people who've experienced trauma. And it was in the mountains, like 45 minutes outside of León. But yesterday there were a lot of, they're called tronques, but basically like barricades blocking the roads going in and out of León. So we couldn't get back into the city. So David met us in the mountains on his motorcycle and led us through these like really super backcountry paths. We had to like drive through a river. Like we got chased by a pig. Like it was very Nika exciting. But yeah, unfortunately, I think Nicaragua will, I don't know how to say it exactly. Like the civil unrest game is very strong. And so yesterday they had all of these barricades blocking the ways in and out of the city. And the opposing party, the Sandinista party, the ruling party showed up. And so there was some fighting in the city. Yeah. So that was a little bit scary, only because the kids were at the house, our oldest son, and then the three, David and Katie's three kids, my friend's three kids. And we were outside of the city, which was not my favorite situation, but they were fine. They were with a caretaker, and they were totally oblivious to any of this going down. I was like, how was your day? Great. I played Minecraft and played my cello. Okay.
Yeah. Good. You don't have to worry about this civil unrest just on the other side of the mountains. So do you want to give people some background as to what you're doing and what we're talking about?
So before I spent a lot of my time doing Zen Founder and working with entrepreneurs and their families, I was a trauma psychologist. So I've spent a lot of time working with people who've experienced combat, sexual assault, abuse, traumatic loss, you know, someone dying in a car accident, things like that. And it's really very like close to my, I don't know, like my mission in the world, what I think is important for me to be working on. And a lot of that work has actually been around the world in West Africa and in Central America specifically. And we have some very good friends, like 15-year friends that are lifelong, really special friends that moved to Nicaragua maybe 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And they do a lot of things here. David's in technology and Katie's sort of generally in helping people, like feeding people and just hanging out with people. But there's a little girl in their lives, not one of their children, but in their community who had an assault happen, a really bad thing happen. And so they called me to see if I could sort of talk them through and give them some pointers. And I think our conversation was really helpful. So they're like, Can you just come and like talk to us and talk to our community about how to help take care of people after they've had a really bad thing happen, had a rape happen or a situation of abuse. So that's what I was doing. I spent 7 or 8 hours yesterday under like a, you know, a building with no walls. It's just like a roof, giving this training and talking to this group of people. And it was really, I think it went really well. It was pretty meaningful. I felt really privileged to have been asked to come and help.
And you had a translator?
I did. There's maybe a time where I could have done it myself, but my Spanish is rough. Thank you, Minnesota.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't use it very much anymore.
Yeah.
So I did have a translator, and he was fantastic.
And you were teaching in just a small community?
Yeah, like it's a small city in the mountains outside of León.
Got it.
And that's because it's where, like, it's an office that we could use. It's a space we could use. But people came really from like a several hour radius.
Okay. And so you talk for 7 or 8 hours. Is that right?
Yeah. There was lunch break. But with translation, everything goes really slow. So it's like one phrase at a time.
Yeah. You've done that before, though, if I recall, because you did some teaching in China. And I think, didn't you do some speaking of some kind in Africa where they would translate?
Yeah. Actually, Africa was double translation, so that's always fun.
Right. So you would say it in English, and then they'd have two separate languages they were translating to?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Are you done with the training then? Because I know you're down there. Obviously, you're down there for an entire week. You took our 11-year-old with you, and part of it is to experience the country, or at least the small part of it you can see, as well as hang out with our friends. But then there was a day and a half planned of the training stuff. And is the training done?
Yes. My formal work obligations are complete.
Got it.
Yeah.
What else is on your mind?
Yeah, well, I knew before I left, obviously, that there was some unrest in Nicaragua. And it was this careful, kind of calculated decision to decide, like, okay, most of the stuff is happening in Managua. It's not a lot going on in León, but, and really, like, it's not a war. Like, no one is, they're not fighting that much, but they're...
You realize anytime you say, I'm going to travel to this country, and really, it's not a war, that's already that's already an early sign of people who don't like to, yeah.
I know. It sounds very strange, but I love Central America. Like, I really, there's something about it. And I've probably traveled to Guatemala 6 or 7 times. And that's what it is here. Like, it's beautiful. It's these, like, deep, loving cultures with amazing art and creativity. But these countries, like, have been embroiled in conflict and war for years and years and years. And I think that it's the trauma doctor in me that also likes to be here, because it's the conversations I care about. It's like, how do you help not only individuals, but like an entire country or entire group of people, like, rebuild themselves after war? And it, like, kind of ignites my imagination and my passion and my intellectual curiosity in a really special way. So it's a place that, it's part of the world that I've returned to every couple of years, really, since I was in my early 20s. So the fact that there's, like, unrest is not surprising. You know, it's like a little bit how it goes here. I do think that what's happening in Nicaragua is different. Like, I think they will oust their president within the next couple of weeks or months. And then if
you're just hoping it's not within the next couple of days,
you know, I'm just hoping they don't shut down the airport. Like,
yeah,
it was a trip, though, because I flew from Minneapolis to Atlanta and then Atlanta to Managua. And there were like 20 people on the plane. Literally, it was like they boarded people who needed extra time and assistance. And then they boarded everyone. It was like for everybody, first class, whatever. Like, so everybody got like a whole row to themselves.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I know you bought the tickets a while ago, but I think if you had bought them after this unrest, that they would have been like half price, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And you were debating, you know, whether to go. I mean, a month ago when this first started, or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You were like, oh boy, I might need to cancel this. And then 2 weeks ago, there was a little more, you know, because the protest kind of went away. And it's, you know, as you said, it's not really violent. It's more students protesting and I guess people protesting Social Security and stuff. And, but they kind of started up again a couple weeks ago, and you were really right to the last minute debating whether or not you should go.
Yeah, they've been engaging in talks. So the president and the protesters. And when I say it's not really violent, there have been like 78 people who've been killed. So it is actually, you know, people are dying. They're students for the most part. They're university students. And they just had someone from the Central America or Inter-America, basically something like the UN High Commission, an international body just came and did an investigation and did find that the government engaged in like excessive use of force, that they basically committed human rights violations. So that ignited more protests because of course people are like, these weren't accidental killings. The military and the police essentially targeted protesters. So, you know, I think it's like a place I don't want to abandon. I don't want to not come here. You don't want to lose it because it's a beautiful, amazing place in so many ways. But also I've been in enough countries and places where there's sort of a tumultuous set of events to know that things can go bad quickly and that it can turn into a bad situation. So it's definitely with a lot of caution that I'm here.
For sure. A lot of thought and not just waving it off like nothing bad could happen. And it's also, there's an added layer of concern there because, like we talked about, because you're bringing a child.
Yes. But I'm also with people who've lived here for years, who speak Spanish, who are from Central America, who have their children with them too. So.
Right. And that was something early on. You were like, what is the contingency plan? And they listed exactly, they're like, if this happens, we're doing this. If that, you know, we're, and then if that doesn't work, we're going to drive over this border. And if that doesn't work, we'll literally, like, it sounds ridiculous, but like we would hire a boat to take us across the border, you know? So that's if like the airport gets shut down, that's kind of worst case playing out, and which really we don't expect, but obviously something that, you know, it may be in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, and you know, don't judge me for saying this. I'm not sure how I feel about this within my own heart, but like, it's kind of amazing and exciting to watch this happening, like to watch a country being remade potentially, and to watch people decide that they want their government to be different, but feel like they don't have any other means besides like these like huge protests and shutting down the city. It's people really trying to reclaim their power and a voice over their own governance. You know, there's like a sort of an electricity in the air for good and for bad, I guess.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of, well, I guess just any country that has, you know, had an uprising that is trying to overturn what seems to be a tyrannical power, right? And trying to take back things for the people.
And what's happened here is the president, Daniel Ortega, is the leader of the Sandinista party, which if you remember your history a little bit, like was what the U.S., like was the communist threat that the U.S. was arming the Contras against. So I remember like in the 80s, like Peter Jennings talking about Oliver North and the Iran-Contra affair and like all of this like clandestine arming of this military force. And it's that government, it's the communist government that's now being revolted against because of their kind of betrayal of socialist policies. So the communists are being out-communisted sort of, but it's kind of fascinating to like have studied this history and been interested in watching how this sort of government operates in Central America. And then to watch it also kind of succumb to the temptation of wealth and power and injustice. And it's a failed experiment.
Yep.
But so much of what allows me to be here at this point is kind of that founder life that I have a job and a set of clients that I can, you know, sort of schedule on an every other week basis or say, hey, I'm out of town next week. We'll meet the following week. And the privilege and flexibility that being an entrepreneur has afforded me and our family, I'm really grateful for. And not because I'm like kicking it on the beach in a resort somewhere. Like that's not what I'm doing here.
Right. You're doing some good work to help people, you know, essentially on a volunteer basis and also, well, and also, you know, enjoying yourself as well, which I think it's good to have a bit of both in a trip like this.
A couple of weeks ago, I wrote an an article on the Zen Founder blog about meaning and how to keep connected to meaning in your work. And I think being here is one of the things that helps me reconnect to my own meaning. Like, my job in the world is to help people do hard things or confront hard things. And sometimes that's growing a business. Sometimes it's facing a hard memory, a painful memory. Sometimes it's showing up in a country that's a little bit chaotic and scary. And so the act of being here helps me reconnect with what it is I think is most important.
Yeah, this has been a lifelong interest of yours. I mean, many folks probably don't know, but you were originally a pre-med major in college. And one of the things you wanted to do was go overseas and be kind of like Doctors Without Borders and do a lot of volunteer work. And, you know, you later decided that the medical field wasn't what you wanted to do, but obviously becoming a psychologist is similar to that in many ways. And you have consistently used that power, if you will, for, you know, in ways that have helped people who aren't able to afford it. And you've done that both within, you know, our borders as well as throughout the world. And I was going to say dozens of countries, and that may be literally true, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's half a dozen countries. I mean, you've done a lot of travel and a lot of work in several continents at a minimum now, right? Because you did it in China, you did it in Africa, you've done it several times in Central America.
So I think I lost Rob. So I'll just wrap up this episode. Sometimes recording from developing countries is not the easiest. But if you are interested, please just kind of like follow the news on Nicaragua. There's a lot that's happening here that's, I think, really interesting. And I think if you don't have a thing like this, a thing that helps you reconnect with what's most important to you, with what you love, then maybe it's a good time to really think about how you want to spend your time and your privilege, either in service of others or in whatever it is that helps you reconnect with what you value most in your life. You can check out the article that I wrote on the blog about values, and that might provide some interesting food for thought in terms of thinking about how you might do this yourself, reconnect to what's meaningful to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.